Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. Thanks so much for joining us at 97.9 The Hill. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius. With Carl Nordgren, as the introduction said, I take an expansive view of what it means to be creative. I want to give you so many different perspectives and ways to think about being creative and entrepreneurial and innovative so that you can craft your own understanding. One of the really effective ways I can bring you multiple perspectives is by bringing guests onto the show. And I'm so happy I've got a returning guest. I just love this guy, Hugh Willard, and I met each other, about 4 or 5 years ago, and just immediately found so much that we had in common. Hugh is a psychotherapist. He's a singer and a songwriter. We don't have that in common. People never ask me to sing. He's been an author as well, and all of these activities over the last 35 years. He's developed and taught a number of classes exploring topics like identity and meaning and of course, creativity in the second half of life, right? Exploring those concepts and how they're relevant to folks in the second half of their life. He's done a bunch of programs. If you don't know about the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, folks are often referred to as OLLI, O-L-L-I. He's taught in the OLLI programs at Duke. He's taught at the University of Georgia, at North Carolina State. I think together we worked on one for the University of North Carolina at Asheville. So very, very experienced in helping folks like me with gray hair, you know, embrace this next big adventure of our lives. He's the author of a number of children's books. I love the way he wrote his children's books for his children, right? As they aged, he wrote older books. When they were young, he wrote children's books. And today, we're going to focus on his brand new book. You're going to hear his voice in just a second, folks. Today, the book is Finding Beauty in the Gray. Finding Beauty in the Gray. Stories and verses from the Third Age. And yes, we want to talk about that for sure, Hugh. But is there something I missed about your background that you want folks to know? And thanks for joining us.
Carl, it is a pleasure. It is a joy to be here with you today. I am just happy to be back on the show. I think you covered it pretty well. You might say I'm a general raconteur. I love to explore and experience, and I'm very curious. And so at this point in time, I'm actually more than halfway through my MFA program in creative nonfiction. I'll be graduating with that degree next May, so that's a next step for me.
Very, very busy life. Another big adventure. You say exploring. I love the fact that the very first word in the title is finding. Right, you're finding beauty. That means you're out looking for it. I love that. But so we're going to talk about the book. But I know that music is a big joy for you, both in terms of your personal performance of it. I know you're performing in a couple of weeks in the area, but also I've seen you use music in your work. So talk for us about music, and then we'll bring you back to this new wonderful book that you've written.
Yes. Well, both personally and professionally. So personally, it's lifelong, and it's easy because it's the story for most of us, that we do have powerful connections to music. And so it's just a matter of how it is applied and engaged in our lives. Some of us are blessed with better tonality of voice and nimbleness of fingers. and so that's a wonderful thing. And for the rest of us, we are blessed with the opportunity to enjoy those things. And so it's been a lifelong pleasure for me. I love singing and playing and writing music. It's a wonderful therapeutic and cathartic thing for me. So it was an easy bridge or transition to link music into my professional experiences, both within my practice, my therapy practice, but also in my teaching. And so I've had the pleasure of doing some OLLI coursework that is directly around music and its place in the second half of life, its role in really facilitating creativity, It's just the manner in which it stimulates both mood states, but also just the processing states and styles and what we do. And there's wonderful research about the brain and how it's affected by how we choose to engage with music. So I've loved doing those things professionally as well. And there's a little bit about music in the book. So there's a part of that in the book as well.
Awesome. And as I said, I think I was on an Ollie program with you where you coached people
yes.
to think about who they are and why they are where they are by, what was it, reexamining the music that they were listening to when they
sure.
were 18 years old or something like that?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's powerful associations, you know, so these are organic, these are natural anchors that happen for us. And so there are ways that we can use these associations based on what it is we may be going after in the present time. There are ways that we can use these associations that can be very fruitful, very productive for us in exploring again, finding, you know, experience in engaging and enhancing things. So it's just a very powerful tool. It's interesting to think about. I'm sure folks may have seen some of these videos that float around on the internet where there are folks with advanced cognitive decline, dementia issues, and they're non-communicative. They're basically withdrawn. And then someone plays some music and it just brings them to life. It seems supernatural in some respects to see some of this experience happen.
That is wonderful. The idea that the songs that one listened to, again, in those formative 16, 17, 18-year-old years have continued to have such meaning that, as you say, they can unlock other dynamics of our
yes.
of our cognitive process, right? It's,
yes,
it's so, so powerful to
yeah.
see that. Well, you know, your book, this is just how is it, what, been out for 2 or 3 months now? How long has it been out?
Oh, actually, well, it's we're pushing 7 months now.
7 months now.
So,
okay.
Yeah,
Finding
uh-huh.
Beauty in the Gray. Finding
yes.
Beauty. When you look for something, you find it. So we're looking for beauty. Finding Beauty in the Gray, Stories and
yes.
Verse from the Third Age. I haven't read the whole book, but boy, I've read big pieces of it. And this is a wonderful book, folks, just a wonderful book. Where did you first get this interest? You do a podcast as well
yes.
For this audience. Where did
yes.
you first develop your interest in the beautiful golden gray audience that you serve?
Right. Well, and the podcast is Aging Well, Finding Beauty in the Gray for folks that can check that out. And so my initial interest evolved, and that's really the right word, Carl. It evolved over time in my therapy practice as I just, again, I think organically was having more older folks come to me for therapy. And among other things, I was sensing and discovering in my time with these folks what some of the issues were and how they related to coming into the time of life where they were in retirement, they were approaching retirement, and they were adrift. They were just lost. They had not anticipated a number of the dynamics that they really needed time to absorb and integrate and prepare for. And they had not. And so they were struggling. They were adrift. And so through that, I started to consider how could I reach more folks?
Right.
I mean, I was happy to do the individual, the one-on-one work with folks.
And let me interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt. We got a break coming up. I'm so sorry that hit us right when you were really opening up. We'll pick up where you were when we come back. Folks, come on back from the break. Thanks, you.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. We've been listening to Hugh Willard talk about his work with music in his therapy practice and how he has found an interest in serving the audience that we would define as the grain audience, elders, right? And so he was talking about how he was serving them as individual clients, but then had the notion that maybe he should reach out and serve more folks more effectively through teaching. And so, Hugh, pick it up from there, if you would, please.
Sure. Just to tag on to what you were saying, Carl. So I was seeing in my therapy practice that folks were ill-prepared for this time of life, and they were losing purpose. They were losing a sense of themselves, identity, and their relationships were struggling as a function of that. So I consider that while I love doing the individual work and within my therapy practice, I wanted to reach a broader audience. I was fully aware of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institutes that you had mentioned at the top of the show. I went and chatted with those folks and said, hey, you know, I love the offerings that you have. I see an opportunity here where we can partner, we can work together, and I can do some coursework that is going to go directly after these themes of identity and meaning and relationships and absolutely creativity. And music is a function within that as well, but the broader umbrella of that, looking at these themes. And they were very receptive. This was at North Carolina State University, and they're the ones who I've done the most work with. So we were chatting, and then I put this thing together, and I've been working with them now for, my goodness, probably 8 years So pre-pandemic, through the pandemic, and then back here we are post-pandemic and being able to meet in person and doing those things. And I love it. And as you mentioned, I've done them in some other Ollies as well. So I put together these courses, and that's what pushed me into deciding to write the book. And it comes straight from the work that I've done in my time with the folks at Ollie and in the construction of the courses that I put together. I decided to write this book. It's full of essays and poems that I have written, and they all go after these themes of identity, meaning, relationships, and creativity. I chose to go that route rather than the more traditional self-help route. I'm aware that stories are the things that stick.
Yes.
Stories are the things that people relate to and that helps with and facilitates the integration process. So I sort of curated and crafted, not crafted in the sense that I made it up. I'm basically the reporter here, where I'm sharing the stories of some of my clients, some folks that I've met in different settings that speak directly to these issues in a very salient way. And so I put these essays in there. And again, I've added some poems that also do that as well. And it was a great joy. It was a lot of fun to write the book. Podcast came out of that. I was chatting with an agent who really loved the manuscript, and she convinced me that I should do the podcast. And so 3 years in now, and it's just a joy. It's a lot of fun to spend time and have folks on and have them share their stories and talk about these issues.
Well, and it's such important work. I mean, just to remind our listeners, you're talking about, is it the largest cohort in our country now?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And it's a very large cohort. I've got
Carl.
Yeah.
For a while now, the statistic has been there's 10,000 baby boomers that are retiring every day or hitting 65 every day, I should say.
Wow.
But that has been revised. It's up to 11,000 now.
Wow.
So there's got a little extra push here.
Yeah. Well, I just have come back from almost a week with a gentleman who is older than the boomers, my father, who's 96.
Yes.
And when you use the word purpose, how you help people in our age cohort, help them rediscover a purpose for their life, that is absolutely the challenge that my dad brings up each and every time, right? He's always had purpose. He's always had people relying on him. He's always had tasks to anticipate. What is his purpose now? Now, I believe he's got purpose, and we help him see that. But boy, what an important value to or service to deliver to folks, help them find their purpose.
No question. It is essential to all manner of our health, the physical, the social, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual. It has to be there.
Has to be there. So what would be, do you have any exercises or tips or any activities that somebody who has decided that, hey, let me see if I can fine-tune and explore and discover my purpose. Do you have a tip for them about any, you know, sort of self-evaluation that they can do that starts them on that path?
Well, that's the good word or the good phrase there, the self-evaluation. And many folks, they look at it too indiscriminately, and they just sort of blankly shrug their shoulders and say, well, I just don't know what my purpose is, you know, because they've moved away from whether it's, you know, a fuller identity in the vocational setting in the workplace or in the home within the family. And as those changes come about, they just feel adrift. So to your question, you know, there's a number of ways to go after this, but I like not reinventing wheels and having folks have to struggle too much, because we don't need to. So I think the place for people to start is going to be looking more at established interests. How do they spend their time? If they find that they're coming up short in that arena in this particular point in time, well, they have a whole catalog. They have a whole history. And I understand that things change and our interests may evolve and change, but we can still draw into a more introspective posture if we go back to, well, I used to enjoy doing this. Okay, now I can pick that apart. I wonder what it was directly or specifically about this thing that I used to enjoy. Why did I enjoy it?
Yes.
So kind of exploring that. And we may find that we tease some things out if the interest is no longer there, but there may still be an essence to what was underneath that particular application of interest. So looking at interest, looking at skill sets, of course, these things evolve, especially skill sets. Some of these are enhanced and deepened, but others atrophy, and that's a natural part of life. So we need to reckon with that, but we also can draw from that. We can certainly get perspective as to, I used to be good at this. I'm not so good at it anymore.
Right.
I used to really not have a skill here, but now I do.
Right.
So then we pair that with the interest, and hopefully we can come into some kind of focus. Those are two pretty tangible things to talk about, skill sets and interests.
Yes.
And, you know, purpose sounds a little more abstract, but at least gets us in a way of looking in and considering, how might I explore what matters to me out of these particular arenas of interest and skills.
Right on, right on. And we're going to break here, folks. Hugh's going to be back to tell us more about the book. And please come on back.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. We're talking to Hugh Willard, a psychotherapist who's just done some awesome work for the elder community, aging community, retired community. And he's written a great book, Finding Beauty in the Gray, Stories and Verse from the Third Age. Hugh, tell us about the book.
Well, to expand a little bit, I was mentioning earlier, so it's basically in three sections. It has an introduction and an epilogue, but the three main sections, the first one, identity and meaning. The second section, relationships. The third section, which is very expansive, is creativity. And so I mentioned a little bit earlier, too, that it's a collection of essays, stories, and then also my poems. And I was very intentional in this manner of structuring the book, and that was, I didn't want to put together basically a catalog of activities, which there's absolutely a place for that. But I wanted folks to approach this as just a receptive posture of reading and absorbing and just relating to these stories, and allowing our brains to do the work of absorbing these and making those connections and associations for our own experiences. And out of that facilitates an ongoing integrative process that brings in the very organic questions of, okay, I feel pretty good in this area, but here are some questions that I need to sit with. Based on where I am at this station in life, there might be something new I need to explore. And I think these stories just have a little bit more tackiness, you know, stickiness
yes,
to them.
Yes.
And it helps folks to be able to just to sit with that. The other thing is that this is, in a sense, it's not a coffee table book, but it is a pick up, put down. It's not a narrative that has to continuously build on itself. You can read these essays, these stories as standalones and just spend time with them.
I love it when an author respects the reader such that it makes that they format the way you have. That's wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. So I bring up a number of anecdotes and certainly share people's stories. And I use the poems to emphasize these points throughout. And in the third section, I just go all over the place with creativity because I just love it. I love it. I love it. So it's an exploration, as we were talking at the top of the show, about how people engage creativity, because it's not one thing for, it's not one size fits all.
Right.
We all are inherently creative. I know that's a thing that's a drum that you beat.
Well, that's where we first found each other, right? That's where we fell in love with each other was our shared appreciation
Absolutely.
For exactly.
So, you know,
what
it involves
saying.
Imagination and curiosity. Yeah. And it does involve interaction and beauty. And beauty is, it's not the ephemeral form of beauty. It's the beauty that is so deep that is about authenticity. You know, if we are authentic, then we are beautiful.
Yes.
And that's internal, it's external, it's communal, it's individual, it's all of that. So it's all these different pieces. And as I said, it allows people their own pace for their own absorption with the stories and the poems. And absolutely, these are relatable experiences. That's why I chose the ones that I did, because they certainly have a way of accessing for the reader. They can find themselves in it. Of course, the stories, the literal stories, don't have to follow for any particular individual, but the themes, the dynamics, the reader will find themselves within those. And that is the thing that is so facilitative about this time of life and the questions and the explorations that we need to do. So.
Outstanding. Well, here's what I'm going to do, folks. If you're a regular listener, you know that on Wednesday, you're listening to the show on Sunday. On the following Wednesday, I will, when the show is posted on chapelboro.com, I include a paragraph or two, sometimes three, introduction to the show. Well, in that introduction, I'll have all the information about all of Hugh's books. You'll find more about Finding Beauty in the Gray. And if there's any information one needs to find that book to buy it, I'll make sure that information is there. And again, Hugh has got a number of other really awesome books that he's written over the years. And so I'll list those as well. In the text introduction to the show. Hugh, thank you so much, my friend. Thank you so much for I'm also going to tell you folks where he's going to perform his music in a couple of weeks in Farrington Village. We'll list that in the intro as well. So thank you, Hugh. You demand.
Carl, it's a pleasure. It is an absolute joy.
You demand. Thank you very much. Enjoy, folks. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.